Hallelujah. Thank you again for being here this morning. This morning, as you know, we are finishing our series on relationship issues. And I want to talk with you just for a few moments that what I think is a crucial, a key way to end this series. As you know, we haven't even nearly begun to touch all of the relationship issues. We've touched on a few key ones, and I want to finish up with one this morning. Father, we praise and we thank you for the power there is in relationships. You brought us into relationship with you and with each other, and we thank you and we praise you for that. And we ask that this morning, Lord, that it would be an exclamation point, Lord, on our endeavor to be like you, Lord, and to form healthy relationships with those around us. We thank you and we praise you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Friction is essential. Normally when you hear the word friction, people back away from it. They shy away from it. But friction is absolutely essential. In fact, friction played a huge part in you being able to navigate and get here this morning. You do understand, don't you, that it was friction. Friction between the tire and the pavement. So that when you mash the gas, the friction between the tire and the pavement actually allowed the wheel to turn instead of just spinning in place. Without friction, it just spin in place. It's the only way that you got here this morning. Also, when you came up to the stoplight or you were speeding up behind that car in front of you that wanted to go the speed limit, imagine that. And you needed to apply the brake. It was friction between the brake pad and the brake drum that allowed you to slow down and to keep from crashing right into that vehicle that is in front of you. Well, guess what? Friction is necessary in relationships as well. Now turn to somebody and say, I told you so. You don't believe me? We quote a verse all the time, but we don't think about it. As iron sharpens iron, so what? A man sharpens his friend. Have you ever seen that done? You ever seen iron sharpen his iron? Man, that's a picture of friction. That's not a picture of, oh, I've got a friend that makes me feel better about myself. That's not what that verse is saying. That verse is saying, man, sparks can fly, right? When iron sharpens iron, but both come out sharper. Right, both come out better after it's all said and done. But here's the thing, here's the deal, and here's what we're going to talk about this morning, is that you cannot have constant friction. Now turn to somebody and say, I told you so. That there has to be a break from it. In other words, you have to let off the gas and give those tires some time to rest every now and then. You cannot ride down the road with the brake with your foot on the brake, that there has to be some rest. And here's the thing. It's not the friction. It's the lack of a break from the friction. It's not the conflict. It's the lack of resolution. That's what will end your relationship up beside the road needing roadside assistance, is when there's no break from the conflict. There's no resolution to the conflict. And I want us to talk about that just for a few moments this morning. First, I want us to go to the verse that we've used as our central verse for this whole series. And as we read through it again this morning, I want you to listen and hear inherent in this verse is conflict and conflict resolution. Let's read it through it again. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Can you hear inherent in this conflict resolution? Bear with each other. Can anybody say conflict? Anybody been in conflict this week where you had to bear with the other person, right? Forgiving whatever grievances, can somebody say conflict or friction? Forgiving whatever grievances you have may have against each other. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, because it's love that binds them all together. Can you hear? I don't know. You probably have not read this verse before, this passage before this morning, and realize, man, conflict and conflict resolution are inherent in what Paul is saying here. Remember Paul's teaching the community how to live with each other. And what he's telling them is, look, you are all moving parts. And the closer more moving parts get to each other, there's going to be friction. It's how do we resolve that friction? What do we do about that friction? And I'm just going to tell you up front this morning, everything we've talked about thus far, aiming for the ideal and giving grace for the real, forgiveness, repentance, reconciliation, submission, communication, everything we've talked about thus far, you're going to need if you're going to resolve conflict. It's all going to come into play this morning. So here's what I want to do. That Jesus made two major statements about conflict and resolution. And I want us to look at those two statements, and we're just going to walk through them and see some things that Jesus talked to us about conflicts and resolution. And then at the end, we'll put it in a model. We'll see how all of that plays out in real life, in our lives. And so I want us to walk through those two statements because here's what I believe. Here's what I believe. The healthiest relationships have learned that it's not the absence of friction, but the presence of resolution that makes them strong. Amen? It's not the absence of friction, it's the presence of resolution that makes them strong. So let's take these two passages. We'll take, they're both from Matthew, the fifth chapter. And I just want to walk through it and talk about it just for a moment. And then we'll go to the second passage. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Let me pause there for a moment. That word altar is an interesting word. It's the word means sacrifice. It is the point of worship. The place of worship. The point of worship. Now, I want you to keep that in mind because I'm going to come back to it in just a moment. First, go and be reconciled. The word reconciled, that means to change. Somebody say change. To reconcile, you gotta change. In fact, the word actually means to make agreeable or mutual concessions with each other. First, go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters, the word means come to terms. Settle matters, come to terms quickly, without delay is what the word means. Quickly, without delay, with your adversary who is taking you to court, do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown in prison. And I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. Now, what was Jesus teaching here? Now, understand, in this context, in Matthew 5, just before this, he was talking about conflict. In fact, he was talking about heated conflict. Conflict so heated that you actually call your brother a fool. Wait a minute. I think we talked about that in Sunday school this morning, didn't we? Those that were in this class, we talked about some of that in Sunday. So heated, the conflict so heated that you call your brother a fool, and he talks about how that brings judgment on you. And so from that, he moves into this, and he talks about conflict and resolution. And watch there. The first thing that Jesus is teaching is this, is that when you come to the altar to worship, when you come to the point of worship, and there is conflict, to leave the altar and to go and make concessions in order to come to terms and then return to worship. Listen to me. The first principle, there are three principles we're going to gain from what Jesus is saying this morning. The first one is the most crucial one. It's the absolutely most crucial one, and people miss it all the time. Conflict resolution starts at the altar and ends at the altar. Are you hearing me this morning? If you miss this, the rest of it is useless if you miss this. Oftentimes, we jump ahead and we think conflict resolution is between is me and this guy or me and this gal or me and this person. Listen to me. Resolution starts at the altar. Make no mistake about it. Conflict resolution is not just between you and the other individual. It starts at the altar. The first principle of a conflict resolution is this, altar to altar. Say it with me, altar to altar. If you come to the altar and there is an issue, you got to start resolving it there because you are part of the issue. You all right? Yeah. Right? We are all part of, I mean, if we're in relationship, we are all part of the issue. And you've got to understand this. It's from altar to altar. Conflict resolution starts and ends. Let me just put it plainly. Conflict resolution starts and ends with God. It doesn't start and end with the other individual, the other person. Before I ever do anything else, what I need to do is find me an altar somewhere. Are you hearing me? Find me an altar somewhere and get this thing right in my heart. Because what you're fixing about, what you're about to do, what is about to come from here is going to test and try everything in you. You better start at the altar. If you're going to resolve conflict, you better have been to the altar first. You better start at the altar and listen, and you end up back at the altar. You go and make amends, make reconciliation, make concessions in order to then come back and resolve again. It is altar to altar. It's not just between two people. So that's the first thing Jesus taught. The second thing that Jesus taught was this. The first principle is altar to altar. If you're taking down notes, three principles that Jesus taught. The first one is altar to altar. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever try to resolve conflict until you've got that principle under your belt. Altar to altar. Start at the altar. End at the altar. The second thing that Jesus taught from this verse here, from this set of verses here is this, is the closer, the better. The closer, the better. Notice what he says. Settle matters, what? Quickly, without delay. Quickly, without delay, is what the word actually means. And watch this, settle with your adversary who's taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way. Does anybody sense the urgency of this? Conflict resolution, listen to me, the closer the better. The closer to the conflict, the easier it is to resolve. Am I telling you the truth this morning? Jesus taught this to us over 2,000 years ago. The closer to the conflict, the easier to the resolve. I can promise you this. I'll soon be 52 years old, been in ministry 30 years, 29 years, been married 30 years, have raised two grown girls into adults now, and I can promise you this. The closer to the event, the easier it is to resolve. You let time and feelings and emotions build, and it's like barnacles on a battleship trying to resolve. The closer the better. And not only this, watch this, resolve with your adversary, not only closer in time, but closer to the individual, closer to the persons involved. Listen to me. This principle, you got it. It's altar to altar, and then it is also this: do it quickly and do it personally. Are you following me? Are you walking through with me? Do it quickly and do it personally. Listen to me. The fewer people involved in the conflict resolution, the few less conflict there is. That's what he's teaching us. Do it quickly. Do it while you are on the way. Do it while you are walking through. Do it quickly. Do it now. Listen to me. Conflict resolution is best settled within close proximity to the conflict in both time and the people involved. In fact, Jesus, there's another place, the proverb says this, says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Do you remember the second part of that? Do not give a foothold to the devil. You know what he's saying there? Do it quickly. Do it soon. Do it as soon after the conflict as you've been able to find an altar. Find you an altar and do it quickly and do it personally. Do it between you and the other bill. So the first principle that Jesus taught us is this, is altar to altar is the first thing that we got to understand about conflict resolution. The second thing we've got to understand is this, is the closer, the better. The closer to the people, the closer to the time, the better. Now that's the first text that Jesus gave us. And so from this, altar to altar, the closer the better. Say it with me. Altar to altar, the closer the better. All right. Second passage that he teaches us about is also found in Matthew. Now remember, these build on each other. He's already taught this, and now a little later, he has another teaching about conflict resolution. This is the one that people point to. Most often, this is the one that people point to first, when actually it's second. Before you can ever get here, you've got to have been there. Watch what he says here. Let's just read it together. I want us to walk through it. If, everybody say it with me, if is a huge word in this statement that's about to be made. If is a conditional word. If means that there is uncertainty. That there's not you you there is something that's undecided, something that's uncertain, something that's unclear, right? When you say if, it means there's some uncertainty. Now watch this. If your brother sins against you, can I tell you what we do? We substitute assume for if, assuming your brother offends you, rather than if. If is a huge word. I'll come back to that here in just a moment. It's absolutely critical. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens, you have won a brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Let me pause there for a minute and clear this up, because this is misunderstood. This word witness here means, the word is martyr. It is the one who has personally witnessed the truth and is willing to die for it. That's what a witness is here. That's what a martyr is here. He's one that can establish the truth no matter what. I'll come back to that here in just a moment. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. Again, this is another place I got to clear up real quickly. In the New Testament church, the way that they applied this, actually both in the synagogue and in the New Testament church, the way that they applied this, when it says tell it to the church, a lot of people think that that means go to church and tell it. The tradition here is that there were councils of leadership, godly people led by the Spirit who could discern between right and wrong and could help you decide. In fact, that's what Corinthians chapter 6 is about when it says don't go to the courts why would you go to the court to sue your brother? Don't you have more discernment than that? Aren't there leaders in your midst that can decide this? So you understand when he says go to the church here, he's saying go to the godly leadership at the church. We got to get this straight, because I think a lot of people feel like this is saying go to church and tell it. There's nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, that would contradict what Jesus has already taught us, isn't it? Doesn't it? That resolve with your adversary quickly. And so he goes and he talks about this here. And then he says, if he refuses to listen, even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector, or in other words, as someone who's not a part of the family. When you've reached that point, they're not a part of the family. So Jesus now, remember, is talking about resolving conflict in the community of faith. And the central idea of Matthew 18, the central idea is to win a brother. To win a brother. In fact, watch this. The principle, the first principle is altar to altar. The second principle is the closer the better. The third principle that Jesus taught us is this: win a relationship. Win a relationship. That's what Jesus is teaching here. He's teaching us how to win a relationship one with another. Listen to me. You got to hear this morning. In conflict resolution, too many people are concerned about winning the argument rather than winning the relationship.
That's right.
You know it's true. You didn't amen it very loud, but you know it's true. Can I tell you something? I've seen it happen over and over and over again, and I've been guilty myself. Can I just be the first one to raise myself? I've been guilty myself. I don't know how many times my melancholy personality, I'm going to win the argument and lose a relationship. Wow. Or do damage to the relationship. You got to understand what Jesus is teaching here, what he's saying here, is win the relationship, win the brother. That's the point. The point is not winning the argument or winning the case. The point is winning the brother. Because at the end of it, he says, look, if all of this fails, then the brother has been lost. He's acting as though he's not a brother anymore. He's not a part of the community. He doesn't want to resolve. He doesn't want to make it right. And so Jesus teaches us here. He says, look, here's what I want you to understand. Be careful not to put the argument above the relationship. I need to say that again. Be careful not to put the argument above the relationship. That does not mean that you can't stand for what you believe in. It does not mean you might not have to have some hard conversations. That's why, by the way, that you better go to the altar first, because you got to do what we talked about last week, and that is you got to clothe yourself with the character of Christ before you ever get to this point. Amen? Right? I'm not saying you can't make strong statements and make strong and have to make some strong stands. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying what Jesus says was the relationship is more important than the argument. Can we just say that out loud? Win the relationship. So here are the three principles. I want you to say them with me. Altar to altar. The closer the better. Win the relationship. Amen? All right. Now, what does that look like? And I want to spend, I've got maybe 10 minutes left. And I want to spend maybe 10 minutes. And I want to walk through what that actually looks like. Just for the next maybe 10 minutes that we have here. There are, what I like to say, five phases of conflict resolution. And right in the middle of the first one is, right? Listen to me. If there's going to be conflict resolution, you got to understand you and I are going to have to be in the middle of it. I cannot resolve your conflicts for you. Your boss can't resolve your conflicts for you. Your spouse can't resolve your conflicts for you. You and I are going to have to be right in the middle of it. That's the reason we've got to understand altar to altar, the closer the better, right? And win the relationship. We've got to understand that. And listen, this applies. It applies to marriages. It applies to friendships. It applies to a church. It applies to the workplace. So where is the first place that you go? Now, a lot of people say the first place you go is one-on-one. That's not what Jesus taught, is it? The first place you go, watch this, is God. Right? Before I ever say a word, listen to me this morning. I'm just going to get real. I'm going to get practical right where we live. Listen, before I ever say a word to anybody, before I say a word to my friends, before I say a word to my spouse, the first conversation I should have about this should be with God. Because I promise you, if you skip this step, there's no way resolution is going to come. In fact, quite often, more conflict will come. Amen? You got to have an altar, and here's why. Because there's some stuff that's got to be worked through. Do you know why you go to the altar first? Because of that big old word I mentioned a moment ago, if. If. Because I promise you this, in your conflict that you have had, just like in my conflicts I have, I promise you there's some things that are unclear, some things that are uncertain. Some things that you think you remember and you think you know, but listen to me. It takes some time at the altar to work through those words and those actions and those motivations in your heart and in the heart of the other individual. Do not skip this step. Go to the altar first. If you're going to resolve conflict, go to God first. Get God's opinion on it first. Hear what God has to say about it first. Can I tell you this again? Go to God first. In fact, can I tell you something? I have seen a lot of conflict resolved with only this step. You know it's true. I've seen some messes resolved, and somebody goes to prayer, somebody gets a hold of God, they begin to pray, and God begins to resolve that between that father and that daughter. God begins to resolve that between that marriage. Can I tell you, I'm so thankful that my wife is a praying wife. We've missed so many fights because she prays. I promise you. Nothing else you do will have as much power as going to God first. Amen? Amen? Amen. Once we've gone to God, then what would he do? What is the next thing that we do after we go to God first? The next thing, well, then, is one-on-one. Say it with me. One-on-one. One is how many? One. Two things I want to tell you about this. First is this, after God hears about the conflict, who is the next person that needs to hear? My prayer partner? Come on now, let's spiritualize it, right? My prayer partner should hear about it next, right? My spiritual mentor, my pastor, my Sunday school teacher, my friends. No. If Woody and I have an issue, and I've been to God, the next person that needs to hear about it is me and Woody. Face to face, one on one. Can I tell you something? It is the lack of this that causes more divorces, more divisions, more pain, more sorrow. It is the lack of the courage to go one on one with each other and work this thing out. Do you see what God's doing? God is, he's pushing it down. He's pushing it down the ladder to the lowest level, the closest proximity possible. First, between you and God, because you have a stronger relationship with you and God than anyone. And then secondly, between you and the individual. Listen to me. And that's another reason you got to sink down into the character of Christ like we talked about last week, because that one-on-one conversation is not going to be easy. I'm not selling you something here as though it is easy. You've got to go one-on-one. But listen, you have a real reason to go. You have a real reason to go because Woody's my brother. I have a real reason to go because I can go to Woody and I can work it out. And Jesus says, when I do, I've won a brother and he's won a brother. I have a real reason to go one-on-one with you because I win a brother and he wins a brother. Can I tell you something else? It's a side note. In fact, there's a lot about this that I could teach in another sermon and need to, but I tried to keep it on relationships this morning, but I need to mention this here. Don't put other people in spiritual jeopardy by spreading your offense to them. Don't put other people in spiritual jeopardy by spreading your offense to them. Right? Do what Jesus said. Go one-on-one. Work it out. Sit down over a cup of coffee. Sit down over a daylight donut. Man, if you can't work it out over a cup of coffee and a daylight donut, then you got my permission to carry it to the next level, right? Make that phone call. Send that card. One-on-one. Just you and them. I promise you this. You'll solve more conflicts if you'll go one-on-one than you ever will if you skip this step. Less conflict, less trouble. Am I preaching the truth this morning? This stuff is real. This stuff is real. It'll change your life. It'll change your relationships. Then what do you do? After you've gone one-on-one, what do you do then? You go with witnesses. Now, here's another place where we get really strange with the way we apply this scripture. Remember now, a witness is what? A person who knows the truth and is willing to do whatever it takes to get to it. That has a couple of implications for us. One is this. Witnesses are not people that are on your side. Hello? This is not a court of law where you are a defense attorney and you're getting all the witnesses you can get. That's not what this is at all. This is a person who has a grasp on the truth, watch this, and is willing to speak into it even if you're the one wrong. Wait a minute now. He's my witness, right? He's my witness. That's not what Jesus is teaching here at all. In fact, his lack of understanding this, and here's what will happen. There's a conflict goes on. And it happens, this happens more often in groups than on an individual basis, but a conflict goes on, and man, people start sizing up and getting teams, right? They start choosing size and getting teams, and they couch it with this, well, I'm just getting a witness. Listen to me this morning. If somebody comes to you and they are talking you into their side. They are getting you on their side. What they want, listen to me, what they want is a co-collaborator, a co-conspirator, not a witness. You all right? There's a lot of that goes on in churches. There's a lot of that goes on in churches. They have an agenda. There's something they want to accomplish. There's something they'll do. And they'll go knocking on your door. This is real, folks. A witness is one who's willing to die for the truth. He's willing to die for the truth. They're willing to speak truth into your life, and they're willing to speak truth into my life. This is not going and getting people that are on your side and going and confronting. If Joey and I have an issue, this is not me gathering people on my side and me getting a posse together and going and telling. No, that's not what it is at all. This is me realizing, because I've been to the altar, that I could be at fault too. I could be wrong too. And this is me finding a spiritual mentor, somebody that has discernment and that they also spend time at the altar, so that Joey and I can sit down together with them and they can help us work through and find the truth of the matter. It's not about somebody that has your truth or my truth. It is someone that has a handle on the truth, right? Why? Because those folks can help us work through issues. They can help us work through things. Listen to me. The Bible strongly and repeatedly, I got to say this again, the Bible strongly and repeatedly warns us against being a biased witness. If somebody knocks on your door, somebody makes that phone call, and they are trying to convince you, listen, to be on their side, they're not looking for a witness. They're looking for a collaborator. And you know what the Bible says about that? Proverbs 6 says, God hates a false witness. And he hates, Proverbs 6, this is not Glenn saying this. Proverbs 6 says, there's six things God hates, even a seventh that's an abomination to him. And you know what the seventh one is? Somebody that sows strife. God hates it. And yet sometimes when we get to this point here, sometimes we encourage it because we don't understand what a witness is. A witness is a person that can establish the truth and can help us get to it. They're willing to hold us both accountable, and they're willing to help us work through to the truth. So where do you go from there? After you've been there, where do you go from there? To the church leadership, to the council. Again, this is not go to church and tell it. This is, my goodness, it's got quiet in here. Y'all scaring me. This is that God has set in place leadership that can help work through those issues. You know what the principle here is? The principle is that godly leadership, spirit-filled godly leadership, led by biblical principles, can help you see this thing through. Amen? And listen to me, and if leadership can't, then we need different leadership. But I've got to tell you, at a Bible-based church, at a church that is founded on the Bible, you're going to find leaders there that are filled with the Holy Spirit that will stick to biblical truths and will help you work through the issues. Because listen to me, if you get to this level, the relationship is at stake. If you get here, I mean, you've already been to God, you've already been one-on-one, you've already been to the witnesses, and now you're kind of at the last level here. You're kind of at the last thing here. And the way that works it out, it works itself out is you call me or you call some of the leadership and you say, listen, I need me and so-and-so and me and my wife or somebody at work, and this thing's about to blow up. In fact, let me tell you something. If you think ministry is an easy deal, set in this place when there is a relationship time bomb sitting in front of you and you don't know when it's going to go off. But that's part of ministry. That's part of being a leader, sitting there in that and trying to speak truth into that and bring truth to that. But that's where we go next. We go to the church leaders. The idea here is that spirit-filled leaders based on biblical principles can help resolve the matter in a way that honors God. That's what the principle is at work here. That's what's going on here. It is not permission to spread it through the church. In fact, that would contradict everything else that Jesus has already said to this point. Everything else. Well, what do you do when you've done everything you know to do? What do you do when you've done everything you know to do? You've had the one-on-one, you've been to the altar, you've had the one-on-one conversation, you've gone with witnesses, individuals that can help you sort through it, you've been to the church leadership. Anybody here, don't raise your hand. Anybody here had a conflict where you've just done everything you can do and it just is not going to be resolved? The other person just will not resolve it. The other person is not willing to participate. You don't remember what Jesus said in Matthew 18? He says, then the individual is like a tax collector. You know what he's saying there? They're acting like they're not part of the family. That's what he's saying. They're acting like they're not part of the family. What do you do then? You do what Jesus said to do in the first place. Altar to altar. You go back to God. Hear me this morning. I'm going to finish this up. Hear me this morning. You got to close this loop. Are you hearing me? You have to close this loop. If you forget this step here, this thing can get mighty weird and mighty strange and mighty disastrous and mighty destructive. Because a lot of people think, okay, once I've gone there, then hey, I've done everything I can do, and then just they throw a hand grenade in that door as they're leaving and just blows the thing up. No, you got to close this loop. Remember what Jesus taught? Conflict resolution starts where? And ends where? Listen to me. There are some things. Now, don't use what I'm about to say as an excuse to not do this. But there are some things that you're going to have to just leave in God's hands. And if you don't go back to the altar at the end, they'll still be in your hands. Are you hearing me this morning? They'll still be in your hands. But Brent, I've got something to do. Jesus says, leave the gift there, go and reconcile, come back and what? And offer your gift. Listen, I can't have that in my hands and my worship in my hands too. I'm just going to have to give that to God. You're not hearing me this morning. There's some things you just have to give to God, because there's some things I just have to leave in His hands, because listen to me, I can't have that in my hands and worship too. So I'm just going to have to put that in His hands so that my hands are free to worship. My hands are free to praise. My hands are free to glorify Him. My hands are free to minister. You got to go back to the altar. You got to start this at the altar and you got to end this at the altar. And I'm telling you, listen to me, there will be some situations that you've done everything you can, you've done everything you know to do. And at the end of the day, you just got to bring that thing back and say, God, they don't want to be a brother. They don't want to be a sister. They don't want to reconcile, but I still have to worship you. So I'm going to put this at your feet. I'm going to put my father, or I'm going to put my mother, or I'm going to put my spouse, or I'm going to put my children, or I'm going to put that friend. I'm going to put it in your hands, God, because today I want to worship you. I want to praise you. I want to magnify you. I want to glorify your name. And what I can promise you is this. Even if there's not resolution, if you have to go to this point, if you get to that point, even if there's not resolution in the relationship, there'll be some resolution in you. There'll be some, you will have resolved it in you, because you followed God, you followed Jesus, and you followed all of His footsteps. And is it still there? Yeah, it's still there, but I'm still going to worship. I'm still going to praise. I'm still going to magnify Him. I'm not going to be caught holding it at the altar. I got to worship. I got to praise. I got to glorify Him. Altar to altar. Listen, church, if we'll learn this and we'll do this, marriages will be more honest and authentic and accountable and real. Friendships will be more authentic. I'm telling you, listen, some of the greatest friends that I have, some of the greatest friends I have are individuals, other ministers, that I've sat at the table. And it started with an iron sharpening iron, you know, sparks flying. But we sat at the table and we had this conversation. And man, they're some of the dearest friends now. You know why? Because God designed it that way. Your friendships, your relationships, your marriages, they'll be stronger if you'll learn to resolve conflict. They'll be more honest. They'll be more real. They'll be more authentic if you learn to resolve conflicts. So this morning, my challenge to you, and I've got to quit. This morning, my challenge to you is this. Some of you this morning, you've got some relationship issues. You've got some unresolved conflict between you and somebody. In fact, I would venture to say that there are some that are here this morning. From the minute that I started speaking this morning, somebody's face flashed in front of you. And I wouldn't pretend to tell you that I know about all of that and I know what all is going on. I wouldn't pretend to tell you, but here's what I do know. God knows. God knows. What I would ask you, what I would challenge you to do this morning, that thing, whatever that thing is, carry it to the altar. Carry it to God. And let Him guide you on how to go from there. But whatever you do, don't just stand there holding it. Amen? Carry it to the altar. Follow the Holy Spirit. He may tell you to mail a card. He may tell you to make a phone call. He may tell you to invite somebody to a meal. He may tell you to keep praying about it for a while. He may. In fact, he may tell you to pray about it for a long while. But He'll tell you something. Because He said, if you'll come, we can start working on this. Don't carry that burden any longer. Make a commitment this morning to carry it to the altar. Some of you have buried it way back. You've stuck it way back. You thought, I'm just going to walk off from it. That's the problem with unresolved conflict. You can't just walk off from it. It just builds and it builds and it builds. I challenge you this morning. Commit to the first step. Carry it to the altar. Amen? Amen. Stand to your feet. Father God, what we have talked about this morning as a final message in this series really gets down right where we live, and it challenges everything in us because it's oftentimes the hottest place, the hardest place in relationships. I know there are some parent-child relationships, and there's some marital relationships. I know there's some friendship relationships, Lord, that needs some resolution. And this morning, I ask you that you, by the Holy Spirit, that you would drive these principles deep into us, altar to altar, the closer the better, and winning a relationship. You drive those principles deep inside of us, God, and we this morning would commit to taking the first step, and that is to coming into back to the altar and placing it there. And then listening to your Spirit, listening to you, Holy Spirit, as you guide us in how to go from there and what to do from that point. I thank you and I praise you for it. And I thank you in advance that your principles work, that it's not going to fail, that there is going to be resolution. In many relationships, there's going to be resolution. And for sure, Lord, in us, there's going to be resolution because we're going to go from altar to altar. We're going to start with you and we're ending with you. We're not going to carry this any longer. I thank you and I praise you for today. Lord, I pray a blessing from this series. I pray a blessing on all of the relationships here, marriages, family, workplace, church, and all of the relationships here. Lord, I thank you and I praise you that we're better for having walked through your word and learned about us and our relationships and what you have to say about it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Till I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. God bless you. I love you. Have a great week in the Lord.